The next adventure of Disney Conversations is about to depart the station. I hope you're all excited for a new journey. All aboard! Hello, tourists. Welcome to tour number 122 of Disney Conversations. I'm your host, Magical Matthew, and joining me today is Diane Whiting. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Matthew.
How are things?
Things are going great. We have beautiful fall weather, and we're talking about Disney, so...
That's a pretty good combination.
Definitely. It is. It is.
Just to give you guys kind of a backstage view of what we do here is we kind of kick around ideas, and sometimes we come up with one we really don't know what we're going to do with, and this is kind of one of those. And that's kind of what makes it fun for us, I think, because in this case, this whole podcast is probably going to be driven by Doug moments.
Squirrel!
Because I can see us going off on a lot of squirrel hunts.
That's not a bad thing.
On this excursion, we're going to talk a little bit about what it means for a Disneyland visitor to visit Walt Disney World for the first time. We talk about what they should expect, and I'm hoping we're going to talk about how things will be different for them because of what they're used to experiencing. So, Diana, if you were working with someone who was an avid Disneyland visitor, how would you have them begin their planning going to Walt Disney World?
Well, funny you should ask, Matthew, because actually I kind of deal with this all the time living in Utah. Most of my friends out here go to Disneyland. It's a 10-hour drive. It's an easy vacation. It's easily accessible, and it's what they're familiar with. And so when they come to me and say, hey, we're going to go to Disney World, I get the opportunity to explain to them how different it is. And I usually start with the size of the resorts, because that is going to be the first thing that guests are going to notice who are used to going to Disneyland. Right. And when I tell them that Disney World property is the size of the city of San Francisco, they can't quite believe that. They are used to parks that are literally across, you know, a city block from each other. Basically, right. The Esplanade would be about one city block. When I try to tell them that you're going to have to spend more time in Disney World and you're going to have to allow for more travel time at the resort than you would at Disneyland just because of the size. Mm-hmm. Of the resort itself.
Yeah, that makes sense because, I mean, even the smallest resorts are bigger than some of the ones at Disneyland, especially when we go to compare where to stay between the two. A lot of people are going to choose to stay at some of the hotels that are not on Disney property simply because they're more affordable.
Right. But time is money,
right?
Though, at Disney World.
Exactly. And yes, is that an option you can do at Disney World? Sure. If you want to spend an hour a day driving into whichever park you decide to go to, because Orlando traffic is not a cakewalk ever.
No.
I've gone through there in the middle of the night and had traffic jams because that's when they decide to do a lot of the construction. So they move the lanes over, make them a little more narrow, and you have two instead of four.
It's very, very different. And I think that is probably one of the most important things that they do need to realize. Disneyland hotels, it is a very viable option to not stay on Disney property at Disneyland. In fact, for some of the hotels on Harbor Boulevard especially, they're closer to the parks than the actual Disney hotels.
Right.
And they're cheaper, although the prices are creeping up. They're still going to be a better bang for your buck. Mm. So at that point, you have to decide, how much do you want to be immersed in the Disney bubble or not? After one particularly ridiculous experience at an off-property hotel, yeah, it was right across the street, but it was not fun. We decided, you know what, we're just going to stay on Disney property. If we have to shorten our visit by a couple days before we own DVC, then that's what we'll do. But for my kids, they really loved the Disney hotels and pools and amenities, et cetera. And it's always a beautiful walk through downtown Disney to get to the parks. That's another caveat. In Disneyland, people are used to walking to the parks, even if they are not staying on Disney property. So if you choose not to stay on Disney property in Disney World, you will need to rent a car. There are some good neighbor hotels in Disney World, but their bus service is not as frequent as it is if you're staying in a Disney-owned hotel. Right. And so you might find yourself going, we've got to wait another hour for a bus. We're just going to Uber it because we want to be there by rope drop. And if you are driving from somewhere else in Orlando, Kissimmee, St. Cloud, wherever you are, you do have to allow for at least an hour, and you are not getting early entry privileges like those people in Disney World owned properties are. That might not be such a big deal in Disneyland. In fact, it's not. Although, you know, my husband and I were just there a month ago, and we did use that half an hour to knock off a bunch of rides in Fantasyland that otherwise you might kind of have to wait in line for. So it was nice at Disneyland to be able to immediately get on Peter Pan and then do Pinocchio and Snow White and just hit all of those rides in Fantasyland. But it's not a deal breaker if you don't do that. Where in Disney World, that extra half hour makes a huge difference in your day.
Sure it does.
So staying on Disney property is probably best, is my recommendation for Florida.
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, back in the day when I first started going, there were only two Disney-owned resorts that were available. They've never been cheap.
No, they are not.
And we had to stay out at the resorts out at Lake Buena Vista. Well, the ground out there is owned by Disney. The buildings are owned by whoever currently owns those buildings. And back then, this is back in the early 80s, Disney provided the transportation from there. But once they started to develop their own resorts, that transportation went away for obvious reasons. Now, those resorts do still offer transportation. I don't know if Mears does it for them or if somebody else does. I've looked at their schedules. It's not horrible, but like you said, it's not every 20 minutes. It's like every 2 hours if you're lucky. And the last one leaves like a half hour after the fireworks are over. Whether the park is open later or not, the fireworks is your time frame.
Yeah.
And I like what you said about that extra half hour, because in some of the, in most of the parks at Disney World, you're going to spend some of that time just getting to the attraction you want to jump on. And if you're at Hollywood Studios and your first goal is Rise of the Resistance, hope you got your jogging shoes on, because you're going to need them.
Oh, yes, you are.
And so again, for Disneyland folk visiting Disney World for the first time, maybe they wouldn't want to see our Galaxy's Edge. I think it's pretty much the same attraction. I don't know, because I haven't seen Disneyland's version, so maybe they would skip
it's
that. But
same.
You know, we've got Rock and Roller Coaster. We've got an actual Tower of Terror now, not the refurbished one out there.
We have Slinky Dog.
Yeah, we got Slinky. There is a lot of things here that we have that they don't have, and we'll probably get into that a little more. But so, okay, the size of the resorts is definitely going to be a shocker. The size of the entire property is a shocker, because when it was first established, Walt Disney purchased 47 square miles of land. I think it's up to 52 or 53 now with some of the add-ons that they've done over the years. That's a lot of ground to cover.
Right. And while the parks themselves only consist of a small portion of that land, you still have to traverse it to get from one park to another or from one resort to another. So that is a lot of travel time. And if you're staying off property and you drive, you're driving your car from one resort to the next and one park to the next. It is not around the corner. You know, it's quite a little distance. You're going from Magic Kingdom to Animal Kingdom or something like that. You're in the car for 25 minutes. I always tell people to take that into account. You're going to spend a lot of money on a rental car in Orlando, probably, if you're not staying on property. If you're using a good neighbor hotel, you're probably going to take an Uber at least once or twice, because you're going to go, I'm going to miss that dining reservation if I don't get there. Or you have a dining reservation at a resort, and so you're going to have to take the bus to a park and then take a Disney bus to the resort. And it just adds a lot of time to your day. Mm-hmm. So while Disney resorts may initially seem like they're more expensive, plus you're going to pay parking if you're off property, I would say in the long run, I think it's a wash, because you get convenience and you get easy Disney transportation. So that's my other recommendation. And yes, you know, the next thing is Disneyland. If you spend 3 days in Disneyland, you can see everything. We usually like to spend 5 days because we want to be leisurely about it. And we kind of want to have a pool day and just some downtime for shopping. But you can see both parks and do almost everything in every park with a 3 day park hopper. That's also something that people are surprised by, that you need at least a week in Disney World. And ultimately, if you could do like 8 to 10 days, that would be better. Yeah. It's a lot to see. There are 4 parks, and well, like Disneyland Park has more rides in it than Magic Kingdom in Florida. Overall, you're going to have more to do at the Florida parks just simply because there are so many of them. Plus, there's water parks, which don't exist in Disneyland. Right. There's just a lot more to do. And I would recommend absolutely at least a week and preferably 8 to 10 days if you can. And that's very different from California.
I would agree. And I want to back the bus up just a little bit, because while you're right, the size of the resorts will shock everybody. I think the first thing that might get them is how much planning has to go into making the trip to Disney yeah. World to begin with. And this is for anybody, even people who live in Florida. If they want to stay on property, they got to plan a certain amount of time out, because, yeah, they get some discounts, but they're not always available. So depending on when they want to go. But I always tell people the best time to plan your Walt Disney World resort is the moment you think you want to go. Talk to somebody.
Yeah.
If you don't have a travel consultant, please let me know. I would love the opportunity to help you figure out the best time to go, the best place to stay, all that stuff. That's what I do.
And that can make or break your trip. I mm-hmm. mean, I have seen people who haven't taken my advice and, oh, no, well, we decided it's too much money to stay on property. They stay off property and then they're like, oh, we couldn't get anything done. It took forever. I'm like, well, yeah. But it's also very overwhelming just to choose a resort. So, you know, if you can get a travel agent, get Matthew to help you navigate it, because there is a lot to wade through in making your decisions. Yep. Disneyland has 3 Disney resorts and they're all expensive. Disney World has
22.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's crazy yep. how many there are to choose from. And the price ranges are really very, very
yes,
wide.
Yes, they are.
So you need to decide. You've got a lot to look through. And honestly, that takes time. Now, it's really fun. It's fun to look at YouTube videos of each resort. It's fun to sit down and plan it out and decide what's important to you. But it does take time. Unlike Disneyland, where honestly, you could probably book the thing the week before right. and it's no big deal.
I did some looking here real quickly. If you're going to brave staying off property and you are driving a rental car, parking at the theme parks is a mere $25 a day, unless you want preferred parking, which is either $45 or $50 per day, depending on the season. That gets really expensive in a hurry. And that alone can almost make up for the difference you would pay to stay in the bubble versus out of the bubble.
I agree. Plus, you know, when they say $25 for regular parking, they've only just brought back the trams. Yep. And I don't think they've brought them back for every resort. I mean, you're going to be walking a considerable distance mm-hmm. from the parking lot unless you choose to pay for preferred parking. And if you have somebody with mobility issues, you know, you might need that preferred parking yeah. because it really can be very difficult. And then you got to wait for the parking tram to get you to the front. And then if you're at Magic Kingdom, you're still not in the nope. park. You're at the transportation and
you have to
center.
Pick another form
so
to get there.
There's more lines. Yes. And there's more lines either for the ferry or the monorail. And all of a sudden you've realized you're not getting in the park early at all. You're like, it's already been open for 45 right. minutes by the time you hit the front of the park.
If you're looking at a Hyatt or a Hilton or something off property, if you want to get comparable, you're going to be looking at the very least one of the moderate resorts. You know, most likely be looking at one of the deluxe resorts if you're looking for a comparable type setting for your room. If, however, you're not that picky about it, the nice thing is that even at the all-star resorts, which typically are the least expensive rooms on property, you get the same basic amenities that everybody does across property. We're not going to talk about the extras you get at deluxe resorts too much. We may get into that in a little bit, but not right now. That gives you on-site transportation. If you have mobility issues, it's all taken care of. Disney is fantastic at that. And I got firsthand experience of that just a year ago. It's been a year since I was there last, folks, and I'm about to cry. But I was on a scooter for that, which most of you already know. And there was one time when they couldn't, actually two times, they couldn't get me on a bus right away. They sent another bus. One time they sent a bus just for me. We were the only ones standing there waiting to go to the Polynesian to eat at Ohana. I was willing to wait the 15 or 20 minutes it took for another bus to show up to get me to the Polynesian. I was okay with that. But no, they got somebody out of the bullpen, which is basically the back row where they park all the buses not being used. And they had a guy come around just to pick us up. Now, there were a few other people that had come up since, and they went ahead and rode with us too. The nice thing about that is that we went straight to the Polynesian. The one that we would have gotten on went to the Contemporary first, then to the Polynesian. So we got there about the same time they did and didn't have to make the extra stop.
Yes. And, you know, that is important because disability issues at Disneyland, you know, if it's something like my husband had when he got his knees replaced, that was a temporary disability issue and he could walk some distance, right. But he could not always walk the distance that was required in Disney World. And so if you do have mobility issues, understand that when you are in Disney World, even something that might be considered minor or you're doing really great in your everyday life, you don't need a walker, you don't need a wheelchair, you don't need anything, you probably will in Disney World. So you kind of have to approach it in that way. My husband, we didn't get a scooter, but we did rent a wheelchair from, the front of the park because just for him to walk the distance in those parks. Magic Kingdom is much bigger than Disneyland Park. Yeah. You know, his knee just couldn't take it just 3 months after surgery. So if that's an issue for you, you need to plan for that and know that you are going to be required to move more in Disney World and at greater distances.
Yeah, I was actually talking with somebody just today and we were talking about I've gone the last 2 years in a row, which is maybe why I'm wanting to cry a little bit today, because they were both in pretty much the same week. I was telling them that without even trying, I put 18,000 steps in all the parks. It didn't matter what size the park is. You're putting the steps in. Epcot will slaughter whatever your goals are in as far as steps, because
miles you will be
just walking around World Showcase. I mean, World Showcase is pretty much a mile all the way around by itself.
Yes, yes. That there's nothing like that in Disneyland. There just is not. And so, it's very different. You know, I always tell people, honestly, you need to train for Disney World. You don't really need to do that for Disneyland. I mean, we stayed at the Disneyland Hotel, and I believe Downtown Disney is about a half a mile from the Disneyland Hotel to the park entrance. And we walked it quite a bit because the monorail was down. But we enjoy the walk. In Disney World, it's going to be a lot more walking than that. So just be prepared for that if you're switching from West Coast Park to East Coast Park.
And even if you go to Disney Springs, you're going to walk a whole lot more there than you would at Downtown Disney in California.
Yeah, Disney Springs is, oh my gosh, what, 4 or 5 times bigger than Disney, Downtown Disney?
10 years ago, they put it on steroids, and now we've got...
I love it, but it is also a lot of walking, and that is, yes, the Downtown Disney areas in both parks are vastly different in space. Disney World's bigger, just remember that. Bigger than you think.
I think one of the other differences they're going to notice real fast is just the number of places to eat, both counter service and sit-down service. And I guess we might as well mention signature service, because that's all a different ballpark all by itself. I haven't eaten nearly as many as you have.
I wear that badge proudly.
I've really only had a couple of places that I've gone to that I'm like, absolutely never again. And most of the places I've tried, I love, like Columbia Harbor House. If you want trustworthy seafood at a counter service, that's the place to go. I haven't had a bad meal yet. I've eaten there 3 times, at least.
Yeah.
However, at Animal Kingdom, I did the Yak and Yeti window service. That stuff was capital N, capital A, capital S, capital T, capital Y. Nasty.
Yeah, but inside is a different story.
Yes, it is. We didn't have the greatest server, but the food was good. I'd be willing to give that a try again.
Dining is... vastly different in both parks. We do love Disneyland dining, and they've really stepped up their game. And I have a few places that I absolutely adore eating at. They just simply don't have as many restaurants. They have a few more sit-down restaurants in Disneyland Park than they do in Magic Kingdom, and they're really good. But the window for dining is very different, and you'll often get caught by surprise with Disney World's dining window because it's so far in advance. Yep. It's still 180 days, no, 60.
It's only 60 now, and I'm hoping they keep it that way because it's much simpler.
Yet it definitely is then, because Disneyland, you know, I think it was 90 days.
COVID kind of killed the 180 day mark. We've been 60 days since that. And
I'm not mad about that.
I'm not mad about that at all, because at 60 days, I have a better idea after looking at crowd calendars and stuff, what parks I want to do when. And at 60 days, I stand a really good chance of lining my dining up with those parks, unless I've got park hoppers and I really don't care, at which time of day comes into play a little more than what day.
Okay, so scratch everything I just said before, because Disneyland is also 60 days.
Okay.
So that must be the new general policy for both parks. But here's the thing. With Disneyland, you can generally get what you want 60 days in advance. Of course, the big ones at Disneyland are Blue Bayou. That goes really fast. Some of the character meals can go pretty quickly, but I forgot about that. And I booked our Disneyland dining 30 days out and I was not able to get Blue Bayou, which, you know, we've eaten there. It's good, but I just really like the atmosphere.
Sure.
Food is kind of secondary, but we went to Cafe Orleans and I thought that food was so good and probably a little bit better than Blue Bayou and not nearly as pricey. And of course now they have Tiana's place that is there that I cannot wait to try. Some of the character meals, like the Plaza, was booked out at 30 days, but everything else had openings. And so it isn't quite as urgent as it is in Disney World. In Disney World, if you want to eat at certain restaurants and you're not booking it exactly at the beginning of that window at exactly whatever time they have in the morning that you can do it these days, you might not get it. That's a huge, huge difference, because you can't be really casual about your Disney World dining. You need to know where you want to eat, and you need to get right on the website as soon as those dining reservations open up.
And if there is something you really, really, really want to do, book it closer to the end of your stay than the beginning, because you'll have a better chance of getting a time frame that fits your schedule better.
Yes, because less people are booking. You get your first day plus, is it 10. 7 or the length of your stay? It's 10.
10
days. So if you want to eat at Topolino's, which we always eat breakfast at, I book that almost for the very last day of my stay in order to get a table at Topolino's. Right. Now, so last time I had to book 2 tables of 4 and they pushed us together into a table of 8 because we had, you know, more people. And so sometimes you have to do stuff like that to make sure you get the dining reservation that you want. It's worth it, because I think overall Disney World has a wider range of food. Mm-hmm. It has, I don't want to say better restaurants, but it has more restaurants that are really good than Disneyland has, just simply because Disneyland doesn't have as many. And we found ourselves eating quite a bit at the Disney resorts at Grand Californian and at the Disneyland Hotel, just because I didn't love the food in some of the Disney parks there. I mean, if you're not sitting down at Carthay Circle, it's pretty much all quick service in California Adventure. And some of it, I haven't eaten at San Francisco yet. And I know they've added new menu items, but they don't have as much fabulous food as I think some of the Disney parks have.
Well, and I think Disney World also offers you a variety of cuisine as well. I mean, whether you're at Disney Springs or in the resorts or in the parks, you'll find something that everybody will enjoy most likely. And if you're looking for ice cream, I've only got one place that I recommend.
What's that?
Oh, come on. You know,
Salt and Straw.
No,
I love Salt and Straw, but that's in Disneyland too.
Yeah,
so.
I've heard that.
It's great. Yeah,
but no, I like.
Oh, you like Beaches
and Cream.
I
love Beaches and Cream. I got to have my No Way Jose every time I go now.
Yes, yes. That's a good option. But, and see, that's the thing is there's just so many places to eat. So if you are coming from Disneyland, which has excellent food, but, you know, like 20% of the restaurants at Disney World has, you're going to, again, need to allow time to do some research and find out what might be best for your family. And honestly, whether you're going to go eat at resorts or not might depend on whether you're staying on property, how much time that's going to take out of your day. It's easier to do if you're staying on property. But of course, if you have a dining reservation at a resort, you can always take a Disney bus to that resort for your dining reservation. Even if you are not staying on property, you're welcome to use Disney transportation for that. But, you know, sometimes it's just easier.
And honestly, I recommend that to people more often than not, because even if you're driving your own car, most likely they'll let you in if you have a reservation.
They will if you
for
have a
restaurant.
But you have to pay to park.
But they won't do that if all you want to do is grab a couple of beignets.
Actually, I don't know if you have to pay to park for a sit-down dining reservation. But yes, they will not let you park at some of the Disney resorts if you do not have a Disney dining reservation.
Right.
They've been doing that more recently, and especially now with some of the construction going on at Disney World, it's made it a lot harder for resorts like the Poly and the Grand Floridian. They don't let people park there unless you've got your dining reservation. So that's also important to note. There's just a lot of rules. It's a little bit different. You would think that they would be the same, but they're not. And I am double checking right now on what their policy is regarding that. It is complimentary if you have but you have to show proof of your dining reservation. So you have got to have that with you. You are allowed to park for 3 hours is the maximum with the dining reservation.
Right.
So if you decide you are driving to the Poly because you've got a reservation at Ohana and then you want to hang around for a while and, you know, get a Dole Whip and then go down to the beach and watch the fireworks from Magic Kingdom, your car might be towed if it's longer than 3 hours. So keep that in mind. They are serious about that. And if you don't have that sit-down dining reservation, but you would like to look through the resort, you're going to have to use Disney transportation, which means parking at a park and then taking the resort bus, monorail, ferry over to that particular resort if you want to eat in a quick service.
And that makes sense.
But it's convoluted and it's a lot of work. And it's something that people don't always understand the first time that they go if they're not very familiar with this. So it's just one of those other little irritating things that you have to be aware of if you are a West Coast park person.
Yeah. The things about Disney World are just so different. You got size, you got what you got to think about. You got the restaurants, and then there's all the peripheral stuff you can do. If you want to golf, there's 3 golf courses. If you want to putt-putt, there's 2 putt-putt areas to go to. Each have 2 different courses, if I remember correctly. There's just a lot of things to do. If you want to do a carriage ride, they offer those over at Port Orleans Riverside. Do they still offer them over at the fort?
They do.
I think they do.
They do.
There's a lot of, and like Diane mentioned, there's 2 water parks if they ever get Blizzard Beach opened up again.
If they're open simultaneously, but even one is worth a day of your vacation and is a lot of fun.
We spent essentially 2.5 of our days last year because one of those was on my daughter's birthday and that's what she wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
We added on, I should have just gone ahead and added the park hoppers because for me, I wanted to do some hopping, but my wife didn't want to hop. We were there for 9 nights, so.
Yeah,
it wasn't critical, but I like having that option. But we did go ahead and get the water park option added on to our admissions. So we could go there every day if we wanted to.
Yeah, that's the great thing about the tickets. You can use those water. They're good for every single day of your stay.
They are.
It's a great value.
You know, we went to Typhoon Lagoon 3 times. Well, they went 3 times. I went twice. And it was an absolute blast.
It's a really fun park.
Be over there. It is a fun park. Couple of water slides scared me, but I enjoyed the Lazy River.
Yeah.
They don't make you get out. You can stay in as long as you want to.
All darn day if you need to. Get your refillable drink mug and you're good.
All I need is a spigot along the way. Here, fill me back up, and you know, just keep going.
A freestyle Coke machine off to the side.
There you go.
Josh, tomorrow, are you listening?
I don't want to think about the soda that will find its way into the lazy river.
That's probably the least offensive thing that finds its way into the lazy river.
Probably.
But we won't think about that.
No. Again, there's a lot of planning that goes into going to Disney World. What else would somebody from Disneyland possibly come across that might throw them off a little bit their first time to Disney World?
Well, I think, the layout of Magic Kingdom is similar, but we do not have a New Orleans Square. We do not have a Critter Country. We instead have Liberty Square. There are less attractions in Magic Kingdom, but the walkways are much wider, and so you don't get that bottleneck that happens in Adventureland virtually nonstop. It's so hard to walk through Adventureland in Disneyland. And the last time I was there, they were doing construction, so it was even more narrow. It's a little claustrophobic. The park, Magic Kingdom, isn't as charming as Disneyland, and it doesn't have that same history. It is bigger. My daughter-in-law, she's a big Disneyland girl. Again, being from here, and she's only been to Disney World twice, and they were going on a cruise, so it was very, very brief time in Disney World the last time she was there. But we walked in, she's like, that castle, I cannot believe how much bigger that castle is than it is in Disneyland. Right. And I know people at Disneyland are very touchy about that castle, and I love Disneyland with all my heart, but that will be something that you notice right away. Is the landmark that they made the Magic Kingdom castle. Main right. Street is a little bigger. It's a little more Victorian looking, a little more gingerbready. Our Fantasyland in Disney World is not nearly as cute as the one in Disneyland. I think the Tomorrowland in Disney World is better than Disneyland. You will notice that our Pirates ride kind of stinks in Disney World. You will be disappointed with Pirates in Disney World. We'll just leave it at that. Other than that, I think just the other parks are going to be something very, very different. I think Epcot is unlike anything in Disneyland Park. There's just nothing really like Epcot. In some ways, Hollywood Studios resembles Disney California Adventure, at least the Hollywood Land part of it, but it is just bigger and grander and has more of that old Hollywood vibe. So I think anybody from California will feel very comfortable in the Hollywood that never was, but always will be.
I agree.
Just aesthetically, that park is gorgeous. And you might feel a little bit like you're at home. You'll be able to ride Tower of Terror again in Hollywood Studios. So if you miss that, our Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is in the Grauman's Chinese Theater. So a little bit different because in Disneyland, it is in Toontown, which, that is so cute now. They have done such an amazing job with that refurb, and you will miss that in Magic Kingdom because we don't have it anymore. That is just really a fun land, and you know, children absolutely love it, especially little kids. So you'll miss that. Just be prepared, that's not there. Other than that, Animal Kingdom, again, something totally different. There's nothing like it in the California parks. And to do the Kilimanjaro Safari, you know, I highly recommend that. And also the Pandora area is incredible. So
yes, it's amazing.
I think Disney World offers a bigger variety of experiences than Disneyland does. While California Adventure is a second gate, it is still very much a theme park experience, where I would say that Epcot, even though they have more rides now, is still something a little bit different than your average theme park with World Showcase. Animal Kingdom's totally different.
Especially now that they're getting the international influence back into.
Yes, they were all there.
That helps a lot.
We were so excited. We walked into the Norwegian bakery and I just smiled at them and went, you're back. And they were so excited to be back. And it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So things are much different there. And Epcot is really fun. You know, a lot of people hear that Epcot isn't for little children, but I think there are ways that
that's changing.
Yes, there are more attractions, but there are ways that you can make it fun for the kids going to each country. you know, we used to like to buy, actually my big kids still like to buy, candy and treats in each different country, and to learn a little bit about it, and to have them talk to the cast members and ask to learn like one word in their language, like how do I say hello and goodbye in Norwegian? How do I say hello and goodbye in Italy? And they would learn that in each land that they went to. And, you know, they have the little kid cot stations, but you can have the little cast member write the words on there. You know,
we did that with our kids on the first trip, and that was one of the things they remember the most.
Yes, just to get to meet people and share a little bit of their experience. I think we asked one time, what's your favorite food from your country? You know, or what is something here? Because every land has a quick service. What is something here that you think is the most authentic to your country? Or what would you recommend that we try? And they're so excited to, you know, share their country and their culture. And that's just, you can make it fun for kids. You know, I know adults like to go to shop and drink and eat, but you can make it, I think, kind of the experience that Disney intended it to be with just a little bit of thought. So just be aware of that. It can be really fun for kids, but it's not the same kind of park experience that they would be used to in Disneyland. They're not necessarily going to run from one attraction to the other in Epcot. And a lot of the attractions in Epcot have height restrictions, so there aren't as many available to them, because you're going to eliminate Test Track, you're going to eliminate Guardians. I don't think Ratatouille doesn't have a height restriction, but, you know, there are a couple. So, and they're the headliners. You know, it's a little tricky. There are still plenty for your kids to do, but it's not the same kind of ride that you would get in either DCA or Disneyland.
Right.
And then Animal Kingdom is just off the charts, completely different. Make sure you go to shows there. There are some shows, there are great shows actually at Disneyland. I love the, you know, the Fairy Tale Theater, where they do Lion King and a Tangled show. It's great. And then they've got the Rogers the Musical right now in DCA. There are really great shows in all of the parks, to be sure. Our Fantasmic pales in comparison to Disneyland, but it is up and running. So while the Disneyland one is having some technical difficulties at the moment, you can certainly at least attend.
I will say that the recent refurbishment that they did to the one at Hollywood Studios, and I've only seen it on video, but it looks like it is an improved experience.
We did not make it to Fantasmic this last time. I can't remember what we were doing, but it's a good show. It's a great show. And they've got some really fun shows in Hollywood Studios. There's more of that kind of Hollywood element. So Indiana Jones Stud Spectacular has been there since the beginning. Frozen Ever After is just great fun for the whole family. The little kids will just love the visuals, and the adults will love the jokes and the humor. And then you've got the Beauty and the Beast theater as well. So, you know, any Beauty and the Beast fans will enjoy that show. So, you know, while it is bigger, there's still a lot of really great things that you can do and experience to make the most of your day, even though per park there are less attractions in any Disney World park than there are in Disneyland Resort. And maybe even DCA, I can't remember how many attractions are in DCA, but, you know, it's a different kind of vacation. I think that's just it. Just like when the first time that I went to Disneyland, I was unprepared for a lot, but I fell in love with it within the first hour. Disney World is probably going to be the same thing. I don't think it will ever replace Disneyland in your heart. It really hasn't in mine, even though I grew up going to Disney World. It is still a great experience and so much fun, and absolutely well worth you coming out across the country to go and see
I know it. I'm looking forward to mine, hopefully next year. I'm still hoping.
Okay.
Still hoping, even though there's a wedding in between there. I should have enough vacation time to take. I just got to get it scheduled.
It's well worth it. Maybe we'll swing out to Disneyland next year too. We're definitely heading to Hawaii, and I'm so excited. And then at least a cruise or two. So I can't wait to report back on all that fun stuff. And we'll stay at Vero Beach, Disney's Vero Beach Resort as well. So that should be really fun.
So as you can see, folks, it's always fun to have a Disney destination planned in your future.
Always have a countdown.
I haven't set mine yet. I'm about to do that though. Diane, thanks so much for your input. As always, it's been a pleasure.
Always. It's a lot of fun.
All right, tourists. That's it for this excursion of Disney Conversations. We hope you'll join us again next week. Bye now.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this adventure of Disney Conversations. We'd love to hear from you, so jump over to the Disney Conversations Facebook page or email us directly at disneyconversations@outlook.com and let us know what you think. Until next time, tourists.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.